toward the light. You'll take my hand and we will live as we should have Dixie. In the delivery room for hours and hours, and you won't even break a little sweat as you push Kate out. Doc Madden is nowhere round. On her first birthday, we'll give our Kate a giant cake that's much too big for her. Later, Kate will take the car, and nowhere can you see JR or brother Jamie. But who cares, 'cause we're together now. The hell with that McTavish person. Our house was an awesome, great, spectacular love. We could have been so great. McTrash killed our hopes for Kate. And now all viewers get is some dumb dream. And I hate Megan McTavish, Megan McTrash, Megan McBuckteeth, Megan McSucks a lot, Megan McKiller of Dixie, Megan's a whiny baby, Megan sucks eggs, and did I mention that my dog can write better stuff? Our love was an awesome, great, spectacular, incredible love. The fans, they wanted more. Dixie's body, they want restored. Instead, they got an Edith Bunker look-alike. And I'll walk toward the light. You'll take my hand and we will live as we should have Dixie.
This week on All My Children, Tad and Dixie reunite, and Tad and Dixie fans agree.
What the f*** is this sh-?
This sh- sucks.
What kind of reunion is this?
What kind of chumps they take us for?
She's dead.
She ain't alive.
It's bullshit.
What a tease.
I'm not amused.
All this week
on the Pine Valley Podcast.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending May 30th, 2008.
Well, we're back.
I'm sorry I left you, viewers. I had to leave for a little while.
I know. Where did you go?
I went away. Me and Carlos.
That's what she keeps saying, but she's not telling me where she went.
I know. If I told you, I'd have to kill you.
Oh, it's like that. It's okay. Well, miss, a lot of things have happened while you were gone.
Was insane.
And not all of it was on air.
Really?
Yes. It was announced that we're going to have a new head writer at AMC.
Are we starting with this crap?
Rap again? Oh, yes, miss. God. Yes, miss.
I'm gone for 2 weeks.
And all hell breaks loose. We get a new American Idol.
We did?
Oh, yeah, yeah, we did.
We did. I still haven't seen it. Can I tell you? Listen to me. This is the worst thing in the world. Okay, so I'm away and we don't have no internet. And using the phone calls like $82 a minute. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do it. So I wait till I get home. I found out, I heard through the grapevine that my favorite, David. What's that?
Cook.
I almost said Archuleta. Yeah. David Cook won, right?
Right.
So I'm like, oh, well, this will, okay, I know. I can't wait to go home and see the finale because, you know, I DVR people because you know I love me some American Idol. So I watch it, and I know this thing is gonna run long, and every so often my DVR cuts off.
Yes, that happened to you too. No, because you did it. You still got cut off?
I got cut off. So
I got cut off too.
Well, what happened was all of a sudden Ryan announces the new American Idol is
David
Cook. And as soon as he said Cook, it cut.
Oh, mine's cut with David. I got the new American Idol's David. And then it cut, and I was sitting there like, you gotta be freaking kidding me.
Did you get to see it on YouTube?
Yeah, I had to go to YouTube. Thank God for YouTube. I went to YouTube. And guess what else that happened to me?
What?
The final episode of Viva Hollywood. Maria Conchita Alonso was like, and the winner is cut.
Oh, my.
And I'm like,
God.
And this was like the same week. And I'm like,
I'm behind on that show.
You gotta pre-record. Like, you gotta pack. Because they're always running over. That's so unfair. And
it
unfair. I'm just not a This is the time of year I hate. Because this is when they announce the fall TV show. Because, you know, I'm a big TV holic.
Yes.
ABC is already on my, you know, crapola list because of everything they're doing to their daytime soaps. They canceled my Men in Trees. I'm so upset.
Oh, my God. Jordan was one of three people that watched that show.
Let me tell you something. If you loved soap operas, you should have been watching Men in Trees. It was a romantic comedy about a bunch of people living in a small town in Alaska, and it was so good. So good.
Jordan Hudson, please don't make me talk about good. Men in Trees.
I love you. Have you ever seen an episode?
No, but I want to talk about All My Children. All
right. Well, don't even get me started on my children right now.
Listen, go back to what you were talking about. You were talking about the head writer.
Yes. I got to tell you guys, Mr. Pratt, that's no award. He's like literally like a nano beat above Megan McTavish as far as like writing skills go. He is the man who basically...
He's only sunk two shows as opposed to three.
Yes. Well, but Megan keeps sinking the same shows.
Oh, that's the same show. Okay, okay. He sinks different shows.
He was like part of the writing regime and one of the producers of Desperate Housewives during the infamous second season, if I'm not mistaken. And we all know the second season was the season that everybody was like, ha, ha, ha. He also was responsible with Bob Guza for turning General Hospital, which was such a beautiful show under Wendy Ritchie and Claire Lebine's regime, into the mafioso garbage show that has become. So I'm very frightened that All My Children's going to become a show about a woman keeping her son locked in the basement and the mafia is coming to town. That's what I think is going to happen.
I think Jake is going to turn out to be the head of the mafia.
Yeah, Jake's going to be the head of the mafia. I mean, this news disturbs me only because, and I know me and you and everybody on the blog, we've all commented and critiqued the head writers and we've nitpicked in them. But we're not giving them the props that they deserve. Head writing, when you inherited a show, you have to understand, people, these shows are written way in advance. First of all, what you see on the air was shot like about, what, six weeks ago. And that means that all these things are written way in it, even further in advance. And when these writers write a show, they have to give an outline for like the entire year. So these shows are written in advance. And when a head writer comes aboard, they have to like literally deal with some of the crap that's given to them and they have to slowly turn everything around. It takes a while. These writers actually turned the show around quicker than I thought they could.
Me too.
And they took a show that was literally last year unwatchable and gave us something to watch. So as much as like they weren't perfect, they were a hell of a lot better than what we had last year. And for them to be disrespected like this and to bring in somebody who is basically just like almost Megan McTavish.
It's Brian Fonz, people.
Brian Fonz wants these shows off the air. I don't want to hear.
I thought about that though. I don't agree with that.
You know what he did to SoapNet?
Yes.
They're not showing soaps anymore.
I know.
So I don't want to hear that. It's called SoapNet.
All right, listen. I agree with that to an extent. But here's what I'm saying. I am saying that why would Brian Fronz bring back Angie and Jesse, bring back Lawrence Lau, you know, Greg Nelson and some of the greats and start, you know, rejiggering with some of those great storylines and put all that money into Angie and Jesse, into wardrobe, into set. I mean, some of those sets, that wedding set was beautiful. I thought it was absolutely gorgeous. And, like, why would you do that if you wanted to sink a show?
Well,
I think what happened was, I think that Brian Fronz is such a idiot. And he thinks that he actually thinks that he knows what he's doing. Once in a while, he throws something against the wall. And it actually sticks. So he threw Barbara Esistit and James Harmon Brown against the wall. They stuck. Mm-hmm. And now he's too big for his britches again. That dumbass thinks he knows what he's doing. He don't know crap. And I wanted to use another word, but I'm a lady. Okay? And now he's like, no, I don't think they're working very well. I'm totally going to get Charles Pratt.
Yeah.
He'll be great. Oh, yeah. He'll be wonderful.
But he doesn't know what he's talking about.
He don't know what he's talking about. He don't know what he's doing.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. And the reason, like, the thing that obsessed me the most about this is because you're saying that he brought them back. We don't know if he brought them back. It could have been the head writer's idea to bring Jesse and Angie back. Because get this, guys. Now, supposedly, Beth Ellers
Greenlee
is not going to be playing.
He brought Greenlee back.
But Beth Ellers supposedly is not going to be playing Liza Kobe because supposedly that was the storyline that Barbara and James gave. See, Barbara and James supposedly, this is how the story went. They gave an outline for the year of where they wanted to take all my children. Supposedly, Mr. Franz was just like, well, I don't like this. And he scratched that and got a new head writer.
He didn't do that. He was like, oh no, I totally hate this. This is awful, trash, horrible. We're totally going to get new writers. Oh my God, they suck.
Are you imitating him? Have you heard him speak? Is that really how he speaks?
A little bit.
I've never heard him because I really don't want to hear anything
right,
he has to
I'm
say.
I'm going
to
say right now, he sounds to me a little, even though he's married, he sounds a little bit of a queen.
You mean he sounds a little bit like, how you doing? If y'all don't watch the Wendy Williams shows, I got to give props. That's from Wendy Williams. I can't take credit for that. But he's a little, how you doing?
He's
there you go.
Like that.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know, he scratched this idea, like whatever they had. And part of it was bringing Liza back. And see, this is what I'm getting at. He seems to not want to like go into the history of all my children. Because remember, I told you I sent my own proposal in. And my proposal had like bringing back like Ross, Sky, and all the, you know. And they were just like, well, those are all the old people. We don't want them back. So see, now I have to wonder if you know, I don't know.
But I do understand that there is a very delicate balance in a writing room. You have to embrace the past with the eye towards the future.
And I think it's very difficult to do. It's very difficult to do, but that's what they're paying you for. You're the writer, right?
You know what? Can I just say something?
Right.
Can I say something?
What?
You sound just like Mimi Torchin.
Really?
She was on Daytime
I love
Confidential.
Mimi Torchin.
I will give you a plug, Daytime Confidential, even though you have yet to give me a plug, but that's all right. They don't know me. If they knew Ashley and they knew Jordan, they would plug us.
They would plug us?
They would plug
you
us.
Think so?
www.daytimeconfidential.com. They had a really great interview with Mimi Torchin, who was the original editor of Soap Opera Weekly. Weekly, not Digest, Weekly.
Weekly.
And she was wonderful because she's like, you know, she was actually speaking exactly to the subject. She was speaking exactly to like how Megan McTavish completely trashed All My Children and it became unwatchable for her. Mm-hmm. And she said, look, it's really hard. It's really, really hard to make a soap opera. But you know what? That's what they pay you to do.
Exactly. I didn't even know she said that. I got to listen to this interview.
She did. It was a good interview.
People. I stopped getting Soap Opera Weekly when she left because it went downhill, became very trashy. The articles were no longer interesting. And all the columnists that I like were gone. She made Soap Opera Weekly such a great magazine for soap opera fans.
This is why I love this interview, because I think she does what we here at the Pine Valley Podcast try to do. We try to sort of watch the show with some intelligence. You know what I'm saying? it's true. Seriously. We try to sort of look at it as y'all do. Because your people write in. Your people, everything that you write, we read. We may not respond to everything, but we read everything.
We read everything.
You people are so dang smart.
I love you guys. I think we have the greatest listeners on our podcast.
Yeah, I think we do too.
You guys, because you know when you guys put your comments on the blog, I'm so incredibly like touched by your comments because you guys don't just say like, oh, it was stupid, I didn't like it. You express your feelings.
You have real things.
And you guys come up with better ideas than the writers and the producers are coming up with.
Honestly, Terry
was the one who brought up a Jake and Julia pairing. And I thought
that would have been
Terry's right. They looked hot together at the wedding.
That
was before she got shot though.
We're gonna talk about it. We're going to talk about it, Angela. Listen. My point is with Mimi Torchin, right, just to wrap that part up, is that she said, what her magazine tried to do was like, they really took people to task. Like, if they didn't like a recast, they said it.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
If they didn't like
the
storyline, they did. They said it. What she did and what she said, and even in the interview, is like, people that watch soap operas are not stupid. Like, we see things, and things make sense, and they don't, and please honor our intelligence.
Well, you know.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what we try to do here, and that's what we wish that the shows are trying to do, but I feel like
Well, that's
they don't always do that.
That's the problem with the that goes back to the networks where the producers, like people like Brian Fonz and whoever's in charge of daytime at CBS and NBC, they just think that we're all dumb and that we want. And I blame James Riley for this. James Riley's a narrator for Days of Our Lives, and when he introduced that stupid storyline with Marlena getting possessed by the devil and the ratings went up for Days of Our Lives. Everybody, because this is what networks do. If something works and viewers are watching, they all try to mimic it and they think this is what we need to do to bring in ratings. So all of a sudden, because Days of Our Lives got some ratings going up because of this stupid storyline, they felt that this is what daytime viewers want. They want stupid storylines. They have attention deficit disorder and they don't want anything that's even remotely intelligent. And it's very frustrating and annoying because now all the soap operas have dumbed themselves down. And I even hate the term soap opera. I like daytime drama.
I like that too.
That's what I call them.
How astute is Jordan Hudson?
You know, and I'm really tired of watching something that's really horrendous and insulting my children. I mean, I had to give up in General Hospital. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, Guiding Light and As the World Turns, I don't even know what's going on with them. The writing's gotten so bad. I mean, and here, all my children, you know, I'm worried yet again because a new writer's coming aboard.
I agree. I agree. But listen, I'm going to start this week. We're actually going to backtrack a little bit because as much as we have concerns about the show and all that, I got to tell you, I was thrilled with last week's shows. Thrilled beyond belief. And so I want to start and go back a little bit and talk about that. But also, I want to say one quick thing. That I have to say that what I do like about James and Barbara, the head writers now, is I actually do think that as lazy as some of the story writing is, because the whole Robert Gardner storyline was
Blew it. They dropped the ball with that
They dropped the ball, and I called it, and I'll remind you that I did call it.
Yes.
Anyway.
And she will remind us through the rest of the podcast.
You people, I called it. But I will say that I do feel like there's some. Every day I watch and there's a little bit of something that's poignant, that's profound.
Oh, yeah.
That is.
Why do you think I'm so upset that they're getting rid of them for Charles Pratt?
Yes, yes. So that's what I'm nervous about. I don't want to lose that. And that's what I'm really nervous about. Mm. So anyway. So let's start, people, if you will indulge Ms. Ashley and Jordan, too, because you know he's been itching to talk about this. We're going to start with Jesse and Angie's wedding.
Oh, Jesse and Angie's wedding. Where do we start?
I'm going to tell you, people, right now. I was expecting the worst. I read a little bit of the blogs and stuff. And while, listen, I agree, people were generally positive. There were some things that stuck out as negative. So I'm thinking this is going to be the dumbest ass thing I ever seen in my life. I loved it.
No, we
loved the wedding. I thought everything looked beautiful. I love when the chandeliers came down from the ceiling.
No, we all loved it, but there was just a
like my favorite show, Phantom of the Opera, when the chandelier goes. I loved it.
No, we all loved it. We just had little things.
I like Neo.
You know.
I like Neo.
That's where I'm going to have to disagree with you.
It wasn't that bad.
It was bad. You know why it was bad? Because somebody at ABC, some executive at Walt Disney was like this. Well, Jesse and Angie are an African-American couple, so we need to get somebody. Let's look at the Billboard charts for soul and R&B. Neo, that sounds ethnic. Let's get him. I mean, that was crazy.
The only thing that was
crazy. That's supposed to be Angie's favorite singer. Angie's favorite.
Two things were
Jesse
crazy.
Jesse said that was Angie's favorite singer. Like, Angie would even know who Neo is.
I also was a little curious.
I know they could, what?
Jesse's been gone for 20 years.
How did he know who Neo
when
is?
When did he develop a relationship with Neo?
Because Jesse was out there in California being a bodyguard for Neo. Didn't you know that?
No, you being serious?
She was leading. She's so stupid. No, but this is what I'm talking about. This is where like these little things that make it stupid. It's like he knows Neo, Neo's Angie's favorite. And then
If I was Angie, I'd be pissed. I'd be like, you didn't talk to me for 20 years, but you be hanging with Neo?
But then it gets better because then not only is Neo her favorite, and he got Neo to be there. But Tad and everybody knows who he is. And Michael Knight, I got to give you props because you're a great actor. Because I know you didn't know who the hell Neo was. And I know that if I bumped into you in the street right now and I said, do you know who Neo is? You'd probably be like, who's that? You would probably even remember who he is. But for that moment in that episode, I believe that Tad Martin knew Neo and has his CD at home. Because that's how good Michael Knight an actor is.
Well, listen, I liked it. Okay, so I liked it when he was singing and Angie came out. But then he needed to shut the hell up when that priest started talking.
Oh my God, that was so annoying.
Ridiculous.
And then it went on while everybody was saying their little poetry, which that was another thing. You had all these people saying all this poetry, and yet we didn't hear it because Neil was singing, and then you only were cutting in and out of their passages.
Michael Knight's passage,
I couldn't even understand.
We would have been there all day.
That's the point of a wedding, though.
And they were beautiful passages.
Except
at least they lowered Neil's volume.
No, they did not.
Yes,
I was straining. I was straining to hear them talk.
But you know what the good thing was?
And then his Hoochie Mama backup dancers.
But that way, you're cutting me off because that is when they do the first dance. I'm still at the circle. Because you know what happened?
I did like the wedding in the round concept.
Yes,
I thought that was hot. That was,
and you know what else?
When I get married, I want a wedding in the round.
I was so angry.
Why?
Because some extra got to hold Ricky Paul Golden's hands. I was like, dang.
You loving me some Ricky Paul Golden, huh?
I love him. I want to marry him.
I guess she's forgetting.
But not before I make Matt passionate love to him. First, I got to do that. And then I will marry him. And then I will have 8 children by him. I don't care about Carlos. I don't care about Gucci. I'm gone.
Wow.
He's replaced Josh for me.
I guess so. Just like the head writers and the producers. You've forgotten about Josh.
I have forgotten about Josh. Just like the head writers and the producers. I love it. I love him. So anyway, so I was very jealous. So then, yes, as Jordan mentioned, Neil came back for the first dance. That was awkward. Awkward.
The only thing I could say, I guess the costume people could have made those outfits even more Hoochie Mama.
Hoochie
so
Mama,
at least they
people,
covered them up
he
a little
had two
bit.
Hoochie Mama dancers standing next to
Hoochie Mama dancers that could not dance. That was the other thing.
Terrible.
They were terrible. And it was a fat. This is supposed to be Jesse and Angie's, like, first dance
it
as America, but it was a fast song.
It wasn't so fast that you could dance like.
No, but then nobody was looking at Jesse and Angie. They were all looking at Neo.
Even Jesse and Angie weren't looking at Jesse and Angie.
You know, like, I can't. Come on, you could. I know ABC probably couldn't afford Alicia Keys, but I would have rather had a DJ there playing Never Been Kissed. What I love that song.
Why do birds.
No, not that song. The Alicia Keys song. This Jesse and Angie song. Kiss Me Like You're Never Gonna See Me Again, that one. That's what they should have been playing.
Oh, that's a good song.
You know, I mean, it just, Neil was, that was a stupid concept, and I hated that aspect of the wedding.
But I love the wedding itself when they said their vows to each other. I think Jesse improvised the Till Death Do Us Part line.
He had to because
had
the
to.
Audience, the, I mean, the
Everyone
audience.
Laughed.
Everybody's reaction was so especially,
surprised.
Did you see Frankie? Did
Even
you see
Angie
Frankie?
Angie was like giggling.
That had
girl.
To be. That had to be.
Because basically, Jesse, after the priest said Till Death Do You Part, and Jesse's like, that's not going to happen this time.
Oh, that was a beautiful moment. It was a beautiful, I mean, and you know what? And you know what I loved about it was that he cried first.
Yes.
He cried first.
Oh, people, I can't talk about
it. The man cried first. Oh, he was so good.
His vows, how beautiful they were.
Oh, my God.
And he cried like a real man.
Oh, yes.
He didn't cry like trying to cry and then letting his tears stay. He was like trying not to cry. And he was like wiping them away, like almost making fun of himself for being so sentimental.
Oh, it was beautiful.
That was a man. That was, oh, man, I'm getting goosebumps.
Woo, she's getting goosebumps.
Some people didn't like it. I loved Angie's dress.
People didn't like Angie's dress?
I've read a couple people that didn't like it.
I liked Angie's dress. I thought
I
hated it was
Kendall's dress. The green. Kendall got some nasty fashion. I'm sorry, but you know what?
She did not inherit her mother's style of fashion.
She did not. Listen, Super Poster, one of my favorite All My Children fan websites is Super Poster's website, the All My Children fan space. And you can find it by going to myspace.com/superposterofthe year.
Hi, Super Poster.
Hello, Super Poster. He had a little, like, he has a blog that comes out every day, people, little tidbits and great information, and you can post your comments on those things. And he had Kendall Sense versus Greenlee's fashion sense. No, hands down, Greenlee's winning on that one.
Yeah.
Greenlee's, like, silver and white dress, and she had, like, gray eyeshadow for her big bulgy.
You love picking at her eye makeup.
She got some bulgy eyes, but she's still beautiful. Like, forget it. She's beautiful. But she
are you calling her bug-eyed?
Listen, she's a hair bug-eyed. But she is absolutely perfect. Listen, people, don't get mad at me. You know you're thinking a little bit. I'm only saying what you people think, a little bit. But she's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Perfection.
Does she look like that bug that Erica had in the jail cell?
No, that bug
I'm
going to
name
eyes.
You Greenlee. You got Greenlee's eyes.
Now I'm forgetting. forgetting that name, her little bug's name.
Oh, Charlotte?
No.
Oh, I can't remember.
It was like some Victorian name.
Yeah, it was something like very like Claudette or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something Charlotte.
Like that. Yeah, something like that. Anyway, so, all right. So, listen. I almost died. This is another part I almost died at. I'm going to cry again. I'm going to cry.
Go ahead.
I can't say it. I'm going to cry.
What?
When you saw people, I'm crying. Little Kathy dancing at the wedding with her arms up. She was like, and they were like.
And they were like, that little girl's crazy.
No.
Because they saw her dancing by herself.
Was it? No. Was it Julia or someone came over to her and said, we'll dance with you, honey. And she goes, I'm on my own for this one. And then it turned out that she was dancing with Dixie.
I know. They were like, that little girl's crazy. She's dancing by herself.
Don't know in the moment. It was beautiful.
No, I agree. It was very touching and very beautiful. I loved it. I cried. I loved it. It was a beautiful moment. But you got to think, they were thinking that little girl's crazy.
One creepy moment at the wedding.
One creepy moment?
Yeah, a couple. But one of them that stood out for me was when JR went to ask the hotel, the casino lady for a room.
I need to get a room, if you know what I mean.
Oh, it was gross. It was like...
What the hell was he thinking? It was the wedding was in a hotel, not the Pinecone Motel on the Highway 88. It's like, what are you thinking?
You might as well have said to the lady... I'd like to go have sexual intercourse with my ex-wife. I'm going to give it to her long and hard.
We're going to have a little bit of an afternoon delight, if you know what I mean.
Wink, wink.
That was so sleazy.
It was gross.
The only thing that would have made that funny is that the camera would have panned to the receptionist and she would have been like, ew.
Too much information.
TMI. It was like...
She did look uncomfortable.
I'm glad you caught that though, because I thought it was only me. I was what was he doing? It was so sleazy.
All right, so as all this progresses, people, and I loved it all. I thought it was fantastic. Robert Gardner is in Angie's room.
Yes,
because that's where Cassie's staying.
You got to see how he finally got up there, because see, he's been dying to get up there when he found out that that's where everybody's stuff was. And Opal, being Opal, was not letting him go because she wanted to dance with him. And she wanted to, you know, she was hoping to get lucky tonight. And he took her into the broom closet and she followed thinking that they were going to get a little, And he did a Cassie on her and he put that needle.
She remembered.
Yes. I guess it was a weaker dosage or something.
It must have been a different serum.
But she did a good ouch. She's like, ouch, Tarnate. What the? She went down.
All 92 pounds of her just flopped down like a rag.
Flopped down. She flopped, dropped, and rolled.
So that's right. She didn't roll, though. She didn't have no place to roll.
It was all, but it was funny.
So he gets upstairs, and he finally cuts open that little elephant. Now, it was funny to me because everybody has been commenting on how brand new that dang elephant looks.
Cassie takes care of her dolls.
Yeah, so I actually felt so bad for the little thing because he gutted it. He put this knife through the belly and ripped it open, and I felt so terrible for that little elephant.
Did you?
I did. But what I loved it. I love when Jesse turned around when Jesse was there and he had the diamond in his hand. All right, you thought it was corny, but
No. There were a couple of people in the blog that didn't like it. I actually liked it. I thought it was a refreshing change that our hero was not a dumb-witted idiot throughout the whole storyline.
Because we thought he was.
For once, the hero was on the villain's tail and knew what. I thought that was a nice twist. But what I didn't understand was when Jesse held up that big rock. Now, that rock was bigger than the elephant.
You got a point.
I mean, if the rock was that big, you couldn't have felt it in the elephant all these years. You could have said,
But here's my question.
What?
Maybe it was never in the elephant. Cassie would have felt it. You know, if Jesse was that on top of it, maybe he knew. And that was never explained.
What?
How he knew about this diamond and why Gardner thought for 20 years. Do you know any of this?
No. See, this is where they dropped the ball. There was a bit of dialogue later on when Robert and Jesse are confronting each other. And Robert Gardner said some things. And Jesse says, you know, this whole thing, you interjecting yourselves in my family all these years and all this and that, and it seems like it's personal. And Robert Gardner goes, it is personal. And yet he never explains how it's personal. How is it personal?
He explained it like this, people. because Jesse made him lose his life for 20 years looking for a diamond. That is what he said. That is the gist of it. The gist of it was, I lost my wife. I lost my life because I was looking for this diamond because you knew where it was the whole time.
But he didn't know where it was. See, this is where there's a hole in the storyline. Because
a big hole.
First of all, it's like
we never
explain why he thinks it was Jesse. We don't know. I mean, obviously, we're to assume that Remington was in on this with Gardner, and he double-crossed Gardner. But what made Gardner think that Jesse was involved? Too many holes for me.
It's too many holes.
They dropped the ball. They dropped the ball.
It's more holes than Swiss cheese.
Because Gardner never even met Jesse.
That's right.
Gardner never met Jesse back then.
But I also want to know why he would have thought
Gardner didn't even exist back then.
And how Jesse, you know, like, I want to know.
This is where, as much as I did like the writers and respect them, this is where they get a little bit lazy at times.
This whole thing was ridiculous.
They drop the ball at times. That's their only flaw, is that they get a little lazy. And there was a lot of holes with this storyline. There was a lot of, we still don't know who the hell Gardner was talking to on the other end of the phone. I still say it would have been great if it was Angie's father, because then that would have made it personal. Because again, why put Jesse through all that?
I agree.
For 20 years, have him on the run.
Makes no sense. So Angie, of course, walks right into this brouhaha, and Gardner happens to have a knife, because Jesse has disarmed him of his gun, but he also had a knife. So he grabs Angie. And pulls a knife on Angie. And I bought all that.
No, they're great.
What I didn't buy was Jesse giving him the diamond without getting Angie back first. I think Jesse would have been smarter than that. Because basically, Jesse could have saved Angie. Gardner said, give me the diamond, I'll give you back Angie.
Right.
So Jesse gives him the diamond, and of course he doesn't give her back Angie.
Well, I mean, that's stupid, because you know the villain's never going to keep their end of the word.
Of course.
You should know better. But again, that's lazy writers. I mean, because you guys in the blogs mentioned, there were plenty of times where Aiden could have stopped Robert Gardner. There were plenty of times where a lot of people could have stopped Robert Gardner.
Well, I still like the whole build-up with Gardner dragging. Basically, Gardner's going to keep Angie alive. I'm wondering if he doesn't just kill everybody right there, but he's going to keep Angie alive because he's got to get out. Now, the flip side of all these people, so I'm sure you've all watched this, but for those of you who haven't, and I know there's a few of you listeners that don't even watch anymore, because we here at the Pine Valley Podcast, we watch, so you don't have to.
There you go.
But here's the thing. What happened is that Tad thought it would be a great honeymoon gift to give Jesse and Angie a helicopter so that they could go to their honeymoon or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. So as Gardner, he grabs Angie, okay? And meanwhile, the whole time, Dixie has been warning Adam that he needs to tell the truth about Kate or else this terrible thing is going to happen and blah, blah, blah. So Adam has sprung himself from the loony bin, and he is desperate trying to find JR and desperate trying to find Colby. So he's heading up into the elevator. He gets up. He gets out on the floor where Babe and JR are. And Robert Gardner is exiting as he does that. Now, one of my favorite parts of the show. Robert Gardner's got Angie. He sees Adam in the elevator. JR opens his hotel room door to see what's going on. He opens it, and Gardner shoots at him and Babe. And they went flying to the floor. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. You didn't like it?
No, I loved it. I thought it was great. I was just riveted by your interpretation of it.
It was fantastic. You saw Babe and JR at the same split moment that gun went off.
No, it looked good. It looked good. It was very realistic. I loved it. What I didn't understand,
I replayed it a million times. It looked so cool.
What I didn't understand is Gardner knew that the helicopter was coming. Why not go straight to the roof? Why go downstairs and try to get out through the lobby?
But here's my question. Is that what happened? Because my interpretation was that the wedding was on the roof or near the roof.
Mm-mm.
And so he had to go up.
No, I didn't get that interpretation at all.
To go up.
You really think that's what...
That's the only explanation I could come up with.
No, I thought...
Did he go down, couldn't get out, and then
get
back up?
Yeah, I don't know if any of you can understand what's going on with the hotel is. Because the way I understood it was... I didn't think the wedding was upstairs. I thought it was downstairs, and like most ballrooms are like downstairs, not
maybe
up
like
in the roof.
I'm thinking like a penthouse kind of situation. People, if you can figure
this
out.
Well, this is supposed to be the casino though.
If you can figure this out, email us pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com because we cannot figure it out.
Because that's what all through this I kept saying, well, why not? If you knew the helicopter was there, that's your escape route. Why are you like not going straight up?
Well, he goes down, so he takes the elevator down.
I mean, maybe
somewhere.
I'm wrong.
I'm thinking it's up because that's the only thing that makes sense. He goes out into the lobby area, and he's going to go into the reception area. Now, in the meantime, Ms. Colby is in the ladies' room with Ms. Little Katie, and she tries to leave, and she can't open the door. And it's our beautiful Ms. Dixie, Angel Dixie, holding the door closed because she knows a madman is going to come through, and she doesn't want anything to hurt her little cape. Now, I love the storyline, and I love the little touch, you know, Dixie's protective touch. But there is such a thing as being too protective.
Well,
Colby was wearing that bullseye dress. Well, it had like red and white stripes. And I'm thinking, maybe just crack it for Colby. Let Colby leave. Maybe take a bullet or two.
Well, do you know, we found out later on that that's what was supposed to happen.
Colby was supposed to get shot?
No. This is going forward. Remember, Adam told Colby to sit down on that chair and stay there and wait for him, but she didn't. She took Kate to the bathroom. That chair that Julie was sitting on, Colby was supposed to be sitting there. So it would have been Colby that was gotten shot.
What are you telling me?
What I'm telling you is,
I can't take it,
that Julia died instead of Colby. And you know what? It should have been Colby. Because I don't like this Colby. I don't care what you people say. I'm never going to like her. She is dead behind the eyes. She is dead behind the eyes. That girl is one of the worst actresses.
Terrible.
I can't take her anymore. She whines. She sounds like she's 5 years old. She's hunchback. I want her to just stand up straight already.
Well, it gets even worse. Gardner walks through the reception. He's obviously got a gun on Angie. And he decides to just randomly shoot. He shoots Julia.
Wait,
she falls over like a sack of potatoes.
But first of all, first of all, even the way they walked through there, this is my little nitpicking. Directing wise, writing wise, it was bizarre. He's walking through, he's not even attempting to like hide the fact that he has a gun on her. You know what I mean? Like, I would have thought it would be more ingenious if he, like, right before he goes in, like, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna walk in there and you're gonna put on a smile and make believe that everything's okay.
I agree.
No, he walks in there like this with a gun waving, like kind of like when Kendall was waving her little pregnancy stick.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like he's waving his gun kind of like, hey, I got the bride, get out of my way. And like everybody's like, and nobody's moving to him. Nobody's blocking his way. See, this is where I was telling you I got a problem, because this, I'm not against violence and sex. I'm against gratuity. I mean, gratuitous. I'm sorry.
I ain't against gratuities.
I'm sorry. I'm a little bit upset.
I like gratuities.
Because we're getting into what happened. There was no reason for him to shoot her. It wasn't like I would have bought it more if somebody would have tried to bum rush him, or somebody would have tried to challenge his authority, and then he would have been like, to prove a point, shoot her. But he just shot her because that was what was in the script, and because they had already fired her and they needed her dead.
Agreed.
And it was disgusting.
Agreed.
And disgusting.
Even more disgusting, people. Me and Jordan watch this show every day, 52 weeks out of the year, 365 days a week. Well, it ain't on every day, but every day it's on, we watch it.
Uh-huh.
We recognize those people at the wedding. Nurses.
Yes.
Assistants. Not one of them.
You noticed that too?
I noticed it, and not one of them knew how to get down on that ground and help Julia stop the bleeding. Not one. And they got the slowest police response I ever seen, ever. Ever.
It did take the police. And where was Derek?
Where was Derek?
Where was Derek? Derek's the head of the...
God, they couldn't afford Derek.
Derek wasn't even at the wedding.
They couldn't afford Derek. That's crazy. Derek wasn't at the wedding.
Derek wasn't even at the wedding.
Oh my God, that is insanity.
And he dated Angie.
That's crazy.
Maybe that's why he wasn't at the wedding. It hurt too much.
Wasn't he in the force with Jesse at one point?
No, him and Jesse were never in the force together, because Derek came on when Jesse left. They need another black man.
All right, well, let's keep it moving here. Well, first of all, I'm going to say right now, I came this close, people, to fast-forwarding whilst all this boo-ha-ha was going on. You have, oh my God, I have to find Greenlee. I have to make this right. Greenlee is so upset. I have to make this right. Because dumbass Jack spilled the beans about Aiden and Kenzel at the wedding to Greenlee.
See, I disagree. I actually like the way that played out. I know some of you in the blog said you didn't, but I thought it was funny. I mean, he came and he saw his daughter crying. He jumped to the assumption, and we know what happens when you assume things.
Oh my God,
you make an ass of yourself.
You poor thing. You must be distraught about Adam.
She's jerking her head around like Walt Willie does.
I'm a little dizzy.
Wait, let me hold your head. Stabilize your head, girl.
I need a glass of water.
Go get no whiplash. I was holding her head there, trying to get. No, but the way that played out was good. The only problem was, again, it's uneven writing. You have to write the episode in a way that is not, like, conflicting with what else is going on. And I just felt like in that kind of a moment, you kind of just want to fast forward what's going on with Greenlee and Kendall, because in the grand scheme of things, that's really not important right now, as Julia's being shot and Angie's hostage.
Well, what's more important is the poor men running up the stairwells to rescue Angie, because they know that she's up there. So it's first it's Jesse, nice, live, tight, taut Jesse, and then it's nice, young, delicious Franklin, and then it's yummy, yummy, yummy Ricky Paul Golden, and then poor Tad.
Leave Michael Knight alone.
Huffing and puffing up them stairs. He did a good job too. He didn't even appear as if winded.
Could you imagine if they were like, okay, cut? And they were like, let's take that again. Take 84. He got his cardio in that day.
He was definitely dead last. Let's put it.
Oh man, that was funny.
So anyway, so they run upstairs, and in the meantime, Gardner, now, first of all, people, if any of y'all haven't seen this, you must YouTube, you must beg, borrow, steal to borrow your friend's, you know, DVD recordings of it. The computerized helicopter that they used was so good. I adored it. It looked so much to me like Spider-Man or like any kind of film like that.
Yeah, it looked good.
It looked like Metropolis. Like, it looked like Spider-Man, like Metropolis.
See, that was my only thing, though. Is Pine Valley really that big of a city? Not. I was just like...
But they try to pass it off like that all the time.
Yeah, I know. But it looked like a pretty big major city.
I agree.
Instead of a small town and like... Well...
So we see Gardner and Angie get into the helicopter, and the pilot's there waiting, and he was so great. He's like, oh, are you the happy couple?
I know. And then when he saw that gun, he booked out of that plane. Hey, that guy was such a good actor, because I believed it. Because you know what? If I was in his boat, my ass would have gotten off that plane
and
real
quick.
Gardner shot him. Why? He was getting off the plane.
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
See, that's a little gratuitous. I mean, he shot him for no reason. The guy was getting off the plane because he wasn't getting off fast enough.
Fantastic. So then you have, okay, so they're trying to get up, and Robert Gardner starts shooting. And you have these wonderful men. You have Frankie, you have Jesse, you have Tad, you have, you know, Jake, all trying to save the day. And as Gardner starts shooting, Dixie tries to stand, like, in the way of the bullets. Like, as an angel, she stands in front of Tad.
It was very X-Men.
I loved it. I know,
I loved it.
She, like, was trying to defend the bullets, and all of a sudden she couldn't, and she falls back, and Tad gets hit.
I was riveted.
I was dying. The hairs are standing up on my arms again.
I agree with you. I was literally riveted. Do you know what the thing is? Whatever flaws there might have been, those five actors up there, there were six.
So good.
All six of them, even Gardner, they were all good. They were all believable. They were just, they were up there on that roof, and they were fabulous. And
Jake screamed, Dad!
You know, and I got to, Ricky Paul Golden. Incredible. How wonderful is he?
Incredible.
It's almost like he's been playing Jake for the last 20 years. Since Jake, you know what I mean?
Nobody
else played Jake, because there is a connection with him and Michael Knight. Mm-hmm. I believe that they're brothers. He is doing such a bang-up job.
But the best part is when Gardner gets in that plane with Angie. He knocks Angie cold, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gets in that plane with her, and it starts to take off. And Jesse runs and does a flying leap off of the building and leaps. And you see, people, the effect. It's like Jesse is like flying like Superman in the sky. You've got him flying 3 feet away from the building midair, 3 feet away from the helicopter, and he's able to grab the legs of the helicopter and hang on for dear life. And this helicopter's flying and he's dangling. People, I must have rewound it about 40 times. I loved it so much. It was so much fun.
I loved it.
Completely unbelievable, but so much fun. I didn't care.
And somebody in the blogs called us on that, said it was unrealistic. They thought it was corny.
So what? Who cares?
But I got to say this. You got to realize, that's your woman. That's the woman that you've loved for 20 years, and you finally with her. I jumped too. I'm sorry. When you love somebody, you would do. I'd rather die than see the person I love die. Yep. So I believed it. I believed that he would do that, and you know, do whatever it takes, even as if it means risking his own life. That's his woman.
You could see at points it was kind of funny though. You could see like Gardner and Angie in the plane, in the helicopter. They were computerized, so you could see at points that they looked a little computerized.
I like the special effects. General Hospital used it. Some of you in the blog said the generals didn't look as effective, but I thought General looked effective too. Very effective.
Well, I thought it was great.
I can't speak to them. Sorry.
And in the meantime, on the ground, you have Jake and Frankie trying to save Tad. And that I loved. And as they're working, the helicopter blade hits because it's out of control, obviously, because basically Gardner and Jesse are struggling to get control of the plane. It hits the casino right over them.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks so cool. I played that for Carlos. He loved that.
Yeah, I know. It looked good. It looked I give them props for that. It looked good.
And then Jesse throws he's able to throw Gardner out of the helicopter, and Gardner goes flying to the roof, and you hear a
wait, I want to do my imitation of Robert Gardner. Thud.
Oscar, Tony,
but
Emmy.
See, this is where we disagree, because I gotta say I thought it was sad as bizarre what's his name, Frankie and Jake. They hear the thud. First of all, the fact that you heard a thud with all that commotion and a helicopter over you, and you heard the thud so crystal clear, I thought
something.
It was bizarre. We all heard it on the TV. It was thud. Then they turn around, and they're like, did you hear something? No, never mind. Wait, let's get back here. It was that kind of reaction. It was so bizarre, because first of all, like I pointed out to you when we were talking about this before the podcast, that could have been either Jesse or Angie. Frankie should have got his ass up to go check and make sure his father and mother didn't go flying out of the plane.
But to me, the most offensive part of that whole thing was when you see Robert Gardner, quote unquote, dead on the ground, and then he opens his eyes and he's alive, like the Terminator.
No, I love that.
That was annoying.
I love that. I mean, I love the lines that they had before they fell out, because as they're struggling, Robert Gardner was like, you should have stayed dead. And that's when Jesse pulls him out and throws him over. He goes, well, you should have fastened your seatbelt.
Yeah.
It was a very Good Times line. I thought I was watching Good Times. I was like, work. It was good.
Well, I love watching Jake, though. I love watching Jake
so
work
brilliant.
On Tad. Like, he was cradling his head and just rubbing it and just talking to him. It was amazing.
If they keep giving him good stuff, he's going to get nominated for an Emmy next year. I got to tell you.
Without a doubt.
He is doing such a bang-up job on
the
show.
And I believe he's a doctor. Like, he's like, he knows exactly about the blood pressure stuff, and he's, like, so authoritative about it and stuff. And he's stabbed Michael because he had to relieve pressure or something like that on some blood something.
Mm-hmm.
He takes a knife, a dirty knife, and goes through Tad's vein, like through his shirt, and he like digs and it's like. Rah.
It was so good.
It was good. It was good stuff. So they're just amazing. And then Gardner finds Frankie, and he has to fend off the Terminator in the background.
It was all good.
It was great. And Jesse and Angie basically get, of course, they get control of the helicopter. They landed perfectly, of course. But then, you know what I love? When they just get out of the, they just get out of the
and
helicopter
they
and they just
other.
Hold each other.
Aww.
Just perfect. You know what I mean? Like, so yes, it was like big, right, Jordan? Like mm-hmm. a lot of it was big, but it was fun. And
yes.
The actors are so good that they were able to pull so much of it off, and you believed it.
Yes, I agree with you.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
So, anyway, so what else basically happened with that? Oh, the cops finally show. Guess how many show up people? Two! You got two people murdered, one person shot, a madman stealing a helicopter, still having a hostage. You got two cops? I was telling people.
And no Derek.
I was telling Jordan. I'm telling the truth. Yesterday, I got off the train, 125th Street. I got off that train, right? There was a mugging. A mugging. Some 17-year-old kid, he couldn't have been more than 17 years old, had mugged a little old lady. Terrible, right? Guess how many cops? I counted 13 plus 3 cop cars. You gonna tell me they got two dumbass cops showing up for this major craziness? This madman would be the equivalent of like Columbine.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, think about it. That's really what it is. It's Columbine. And you got two cops showing up?
And they were gonna arrest the black man first because he had the gun in his hand.
That's right.
They were ready to arrest Jesse. I'm like, what's that about?
And
that
racist.
Pissed me off.
And they racist cops. That's messed up.
They were like, put it down, put it down. It's like, he's not the damn crook.
Damn.
That was so silly.
Well, a little silly was, but I liked it, was Jake and Frankie flying Tad to the hospital.
No, because that's believable. Frankie can fly helicopters. He was in the army and stuff. That was believable to me.
Believable.
What was not believable is where did that fourth person come that was taking care of Tad?
What do you mean?
There was somebody in the back, and I'm trying to figure out who it was. We don't know who that is. I don't know, but somebody got in the copter with them. There was
right.
A fourth person holding up Tad. I'm like, who's that? Where did that person come from?
No.
No, that's why it was so stupid.
Oh my God, you're
there
right.
were there were little indiscrepancies. And then, in case you didn't see, Monday's episode ended one way and Tuesday's began another.
Monday was a different episode, baby.
What?
Monday was
a... I mean, Tuesday and Wednesdays.
Yeah,
Tuesday
yeah.
and Wednesdays. Like, it ended with Jesse and Angie, like, hugging each other and the helicopter was going off. And then Tuesdays began with them, like... doing something totally different.
Yeah, well, it wasn't totally different. It was like it backtracked. It basically showed them getting into the helicopter.
And then they had dialogue that they didn't have the day before.
Yes, you're
that
right.
was bizarre.
You're right
that was
that.
Really bizarre
That's
to me.
Right.
Like, because they didn't have any of that dialogue the day before. It was just like, whatever.
Well, so then for the rest of the show, now we're heading into this week. You have, like, just Jake working on Tad and you have Julia. So we can talk a little bit about Tad if you want. Basically, you know, Jake breaks the hospital rules by working on his brother. He's not supposed to, but I loved it because he gave who was it? Some head doctor.
Yeah, he put that doctor in his place.
Oh my God, because he's been working on shooting victims for like what?
The last
2 years or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and I believe this guy when he operated on Tad, I believed him as a surgeon, and I liked the other doctor too. I thought he was very good.
Mhm.
Now, Tad makes it, and through the episodes, you have, like, all this sort of, like, brouhaha about everybody worrying over Tad and everybody worrying about him finding Katie and all that stuff. But basically what happens to Tad is that he makes it, but he's in critical, right? He's, like, not through the worst of it. And you have some heavy-handed stuff, people. You have, like, Crystal coming up out of the blue saying to Adam, if you only knew where Kate really is. Remember that time you said you knew where Kate is? If only you knew. And then you have JR, like, basically saying the same thing. And I don't know. We'll get to all that stuff. But basically what happens to Tad while he is, you know, in critical is he sees Dixie. Dixie makes herself appear to him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people, I know in the opening we were a little hard on it. And yes, okay, I love certain parts of it. I love seeing those two together. They are so beautiful and so brilliant together. It just made me so dang angry. It made me so angry because this doesn't make any sense. This is a pure acknowledgement on how badly the powers that be screwed up. Don't you think?
Finish what you gotta say.
Well, what I'm saying is that basically we see them through the stages of life. We see Dixie take him, start all over from scratch with him. From the birth to, you know, Kate Diaz, or Kathy, I suppose I'll call her. Kate, I suppose I can call her now. Kate as a toddler, Kate as a young girl, Kate as a teenager, Kate as a grown woman, Kate having kids, all that stuff. And then they get older. And did you notice the older they got, the more Jewish their accents became?
You pointed that out. I just noticed they were getting older. I really didn't feel like she
was
getting Jewish.
Can you believe what we started, Tad? Can you believe it?
She was not that bad.
Started.
The only thing I told you,
did.
The only thing I told you was she got more into it than he did.
No, but he.
Because I started noticing that she was getting older as they were going on.
Brooklyn Jews.
But
that's
he kind of was like, I'm not doing this. This is stupid.
Yeah.
He wasn't as old as she was because by the end she was ready to go in the crypt and die.
Well, he didn't really age. They didn't really even bother to age Tad because he's already a little aged. So I thought she needed more aging.
I thought she was great. I thought she was brilliant.
She was brilliant.
They were like a, I mean, I'm going to say this because somebody in the blog mentioned that we need to get over this whole Dixie thing. And I love you guys and I want you guys to express your opinion. But I got to say, this isn't about, because he made a good point. He's like, even if Dixie were to come back, it wasn't like Tad and Dixie would be happily ever after because this is a soap opera.
Very true.
And he's
very
right.
Very astute.
But this is more about the fact of righting a wrong as far as I'm concerned. They brought Katie McClain back as Dixie last year. And because this actress had the audacity in their eyes to speak out on the fact that the head writer was not treating the character right and it wasn't right for us as the viewers and the history and all that, because she spoke up in our defense because she realized And as herself as an actress, that's she didn't want to play this. She voiced her opinion.
And in this country,
we are supposed to be able to do that kind of sort of stuff.
Hence the Pine Valley podcast.
And the head writer, being petty and vindictive, decided to get back and decided to kill the character off. And our stupid producer
agreed
to it. So you see, this is about righting a wrong. Katie McClain should have never been written out. She should have never been fired. She should have never been let go. And now Julie Harbour, corroded, or whatever you guys want to call her, crap others, is backtracking, saying, well, we need to right a wrong and this and that. Well, you know what? You want to right a wrong? Bring her back. Because you know what? You know what, guys? This is a soap opera. That's the beauty of this. This is a soap opera. So you know what? Yes, people die and they come back. And I'm tired of people saying that's corny and unrealistic. You know what? I'm glad that Jesse's back. And I'll be glad if Dixie's back. Because I'd rather be seeing them than seeing horrible young actors that can't act like Blandy. And I want to see Dixie back. I don't care how you bring her back.
Blandy,
I just want her back.
Blandy.
I know she can. I'm sorry. I was trying to think of a bad actor. I should have said
Adam.
Kobe. I should have, yeah, Adam and Kobe. I try to forget about Adam. But this is what I'm talking about. It's like, so what? It's a soap opera. Bring her back. I already told you how to bring her back. We all did. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Bring her back.
All right. Well, listen, that's what my problem with it is. I hate it how this was executed. I hate it. I'm sorry.
I give them an A for concept, but a C in execution. I agree with Terry and Toronto. They could have did the whole episode.
Yes,
I think it was Terry who said that. One of you said that. A couple of you said that.
But still, it's too established for me. I'm freaked out about it. It feels too established that she's dead now. Now it's like she really is dead.
Well, the minute she talked to Jake, we knew she was really dead.
Because
then it blows out the whole act. But like I told you, astral projection.
I agree.
Any reason to bring her back, I will swallow. It's that point.
I'm going to tell you one thing. I like when JR made love to Babe. New Babe. He didn't hit me this week, people.
No, because believe it or not, sit down, people.
I was awaiting a slap.
I
covered my face
for the first
time.
I actually didn't mind New Babe.
Wow.
I liked the scene with her and JR went after they almost got shot and she like professed her love and stuff to him. She was actually good and believable. She still had the tear splatter under her eyes. It wasn't a natural tear cry like Miss Debbie Morgan. But I actually could stomach her.
I like
New Kobe, not so much.
New Kobe.
And another thing, you mentioned we didn't discuss Yaya's portrayal her performance at the wedding. She was great.
Really nice.
She was really fabulous.
And at the hospital, too.
And you know what? And when they put her opposite Dre, I realized how bad Dre is as an actor. He needs to go. Right. He needs to go because he's a little, how you doing, too? I don't buy them together. She is two women. She would eat him up.
He's a little, how you doing?
You watch Wendy Williams. You listen to Wendy Williams. You know.
He ain't like that.
He comes across very fey, girl. He's very like, how you, he is too soft for her.
People.
He is too soft for her. She will eat him alive.
Dang.
They need to get her a real man. They need to put, Terry and Toronto said it. I'll say it too. They need to put her with Josh.
That's even
we too- know Josh likes his women a little dark. Remember him and, what's her name? Danny, he took Danny's virginity.
Oh my God.
Woo, remember that? So we know Josh likes a little chocolate. I say put Josh with.
God.
Could you imagine Josh and her together? They make a hot couple.
Too young. She's too young for him.
And Danny wasn't? Danny was in high school.
I ain't talking about this no more.
This girl at least went to France.
I want a grown woman for Josh. I want a grown woman
Look,
for Jake.
At this point, I'd want anybody for Josh. I'd even take a grown
Frankie.
Man for Josh. Because at this point, Josh was an extra this week.
You know how good Josh would be with another man? You get two hot men like that together. Ooh, just like As the World Turns.
Can we get on the subject the fact that Josh was an extra this week?
Well, listen, this is what happened.
He had no lines. They brought him. He was a basic extra.
This is what happened, people.
This is what I get pissed.
This is what happened. Julia gets shot, as we mentioned before, and she gets to the emergency room. Now, somehow, the woman is dying. She's got a completely shattered spleen, liver, whatever.
I'm hoping that that's the
truth.
I'm hoping that's the truth, because I don't know anything about, like, if this is true, but I'm assuming that this would be realistic.
Our resident medical expert, Kat, would definitely have something to say about
Kat,
that.
Kat, can you... I want Kat to, like, blog us or email us and
Kat
let us know, was that accurate?
Was there no way
to save her?
No, she would not be able to utter a word, a sentence.
I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, was... the whole aspect of it, because it was that supposedly Dr. Joe said it, and once Julia knew what it was, Julia was like, that's it. There's no way of saving her whatsoever.
Yes.
Because I don't know anything about what was it.
I don't either.
I want Kat to tell me, let me know, so I can at least have a peace of mind. I want peace of mind.
Any of y'all that work in a hospital, that are nurses, that are doctors, anything having to do anything with the medical profession,
because
tell us.
I'll tell you this. It sure looked like they didn't give a damn to do anything. And usually I love me some Dr. Joe, but Dr. Joe must have had an off day that day because he was not believable when he was trying to save Julia. And the guy pumping her, what was that about?
What happened, people?
The only people that cared was that nurse and Angie.
Well, what happened, people, was they get her to the hospital and she's conscious and she's talking to Joe and she realizes that she got a death sentence. Now she refuses to see Kathy.
Right, and I could understand that.
I don't.
You're going to traumatize the girl?
That little girl is going to be traumatized as it is. If I had an opportunity to say goodbye to my daughter, I would say goodbye. Because that would be something she will remember forever, that her mother loved her enough to hang on to say, I'm on go.
But she's not her mother. She's Aunt Julia.
That is her mother.
That's the other thing.
She is after her. That's her mother.
They keep saying Julia's her mother, but yet Kathy keeps calling her Aunt Julia.
You got a point. You got a point.
That is what's so stupid. Everybody's,
you know,
like,
why? Because Julia never told her that her parents died. Twice. Every night, Kathy goes to bed. Aunt Julia, when are Mommy and Daddy coming home? they're at the movies.
Kathy, you're jinxed. You lost three mothers and a father.
No kidding. Three mothers and two fathers.
No.
Yes.
Who's the?
It's her adopted mother and father.
Yeah, but who's the other father?
Tad!
Tad's still alive, though.
Oh, that's true.
Well, as far as we know.
Ooh, dun-dun. So that's my gripe. Because Julia lost Noah. Can you imagine if Noah had a chance to say goodbye to her and didn't because he didn't want to hurt her? Come on now. You see your daughter. You say your last words to her. She said her last words to Crystal.
Let me get on the subject
Crystal.
Of that.
Crystal!
When the hell did Crystal and Julia become BFFs?
I don't know.
When were they ever BFFs? I will give props to Miss Bobby Eakes, because when she got the script, she said, well, I'm going to have to make this work. And she did. She made it work.
No,
you would have thought
Bobby
they were.
Bobby Eakes got the script. She said, what the f*** did they have me do now?
Well, because it's stupid. They're not best friends forever.
Yes.
Why? But she cried the hell like if Julia was her sister.
This is how bad the writers wrote Julia. They completely discounted Julia, wrote her completely out of everything.
She had time left. She did not get on the phone to talk to her family.
That's what I'm saying. She had no family. She had nobody that really cared about her. She had Adam crying over her. Give me a break.
Oh, Lord, Adam.
And Blandy. I mean, I know Blandy was her friend, but give me a break.
I told you, she lived in Wildwood with Blandy. So, you know, she took Blandy in at Wildwood. So they have a little bond there. More than Crystal, who was there through the whole thing. I mean, the only two people that cared in the room, when Julia finally died, the only two people that cared were Angie and that nurse.
Even that nurse didn't seem to care that much.
No, that nurse was upset. She looked like she knew Julia. And then when they came outside in the hallway and all the other like orderlies and nurses and stuff were hanging out, they looked like they got busted by their parents for like peeking in on stuff that they shouldn't have. And they didn't seem like they were like staff members that cared.
I saw some people hugging.
No, it didn't work for me. I was like, this is a hospital.
What
this is somebody you work with. Imagine if you came in and I'm dying.
Yes.
Would you like at least show some emotion? I would hope so.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's what I'm saying. It was like, I just didn't
I would show a little bit of emotion.
I mean, Dr. Joe was so like out of it.
I would totally be really upset. I would so show so much emotion.
And then that guy's pumping and he's like this, like,
Well, here's my gripe on that. Kat, you could tell us. Medical people, you could tell us. Two freaking people plus one doctor in a room where a woman is dying. Give me a break.
I don't know.
My children, you are cutting corners in the wrong places. Let me tell you.
But I will say this. Miss Sydney Penny held her head up high and left that show giving the best performance and making them probably regret ever firing her. Because let me tell you something. she could have done what a lot of people do when they're ready to leave, text in her last performances, be so whatever. But she went out with a bang, literally.
Beautiful.
She
her
was
Crystal,
she was
beautiful.
Amazing.
Crying totally.
I mean, she was just, I actually believe that she was dying.
I did too. With the exception that I do think she would have been more frantic to see her loved ones or to say goodbye.
Or that she could have looked a little bit more. Well, somebody commented she looked a little bit beautiful at one point. There were a couple scenes where she looked a little bit beautiful, but her acting, though,
yeah.
You know, like when she first got shot in the ballroom and they were taking care of her. Oh my God, how riveting was she?
She's incredible.
She was just like
I was so disgusted
that they get rid of her.
Dixie said, thanked her for taking. She said, thank you for taking care of our little girl.
And then she said, you can go. Our little girl's gonna be okay.
That was beautiful.
That was beautiful. I still don't see a reason why we got rid of Julia, but you know, whatever. Lazy writers.
Just weird.
But I'll give props. You know, they made it work. Oh, I didn't even know Greg got shot at first. That thing was so quick.
That was so quick
that I kept saying, who else got shot? And it wasn't until like he was standing up and they were telling somebody to take care of him that I was like, oh, Greg got shot.
Yeah.
And we didn't even mention how Larry Law was so fabulous during his week on the show.
How they're
not offering him a contract is beyond me.
Oh, God. And Greg, I wasn't even here to tell you.
And he is in his mid-50s and he looks fabulous.
Gorgeous.
Still looking all baby face hunky Greg.
Gorgeous.
They need to bring him back.
Ugh.
I'd rather he be on the show than Adam. At least I'd understand him.
Oh, he was unintelligible.
Those scenes with Jesse,
I was so...
After I complimented him the week before, because the scenes with Zach, when Zach confronted him and Zach punched him, we didn't talk about that. When Zach punched Adam...
We're going to talk about it now.
Okay, let's talk about that now.
Let's talk about it. Well, what happened was, people, last week at the wedding, as we told you, Greenie was all upset because she wasn't upset. She was tears of joy, right?
Yes, tears of joy.
Tears of joy because her and Adam were going to get back together. He didn't care about no kids and all that stuff. So Jack bobs his head and thinks that Greenlee is crying over how upset she is over having found out that Adam and Kendall slept together. So he spills the beans and then
all hell breaks loose.
So basically, after that, you have the whole week of, like, at the wedding, all of them confronting each other. It's basically Adam, Greenlee, Zach, and Kendall. And at one point, you tell him, Jordan, because you remember better.
Well, I gotta say, I'll give Adam credit. This was the best thing he's ever done on the show. And I understood him. Because he was so angry. I guess that's how you get to understand him, is when he gets angry, you can understand what the hell he's saying. And he realizes Zach sent him there to basically get shot. And die. He told Kendall. You told him he knew. That means he set me there to get a bullet in my head. And I understood him. And I was like, holy. I didn't have to put it on mute. So then he runs and confronts Zach. And you know, Zach has never been my favorite. But I got to give you guys props. I see what you're talking about. Because he was all key, man. The way he put Aiden in his place. He just cold-clocked Aiden. Like you would hit a dog on the nose who's getting loud with you. And I sat there. And you want to talk. That's what I rewound 40 times. Because I love seeing Adam get hit. And he looked all dazed, like, and then he was like, and then the thing was that I got to get Thorsten K props. Because you know what? Zach was so cool about it. Because he was not getting upset. He was not getting on ass. He was just like, you need to check yourself, mate, or whatever he said to him.
Yeah.
He says, and you need to go. And I was like, that's a man. That is a man. That is a man. And Adam's a boy.
That's what I'm
and
talking
I was
about,
just
baby.
Like, that scene rocked for me. I was like so riveted. I was like, word.
Excellent.
That was
excellent. Well, this week you basically had Greenlee going crazy over Adam and how hurt she is and how betrayed she feels. And Zach basically goes to her apartment and tries to talk her out of her grief.
Mm-hmm.
She holds off and she kisses that man, tries to make love to him. Now, I had always said on this podcast that I would be very excited by a Thorsten K. Rebecca Buddy pairing. I was oddly not turned on. Were you turned on by that kiss?
I don't think you were supposed to, though.
No?
No, you know why? Because this isn't coming from a place of her really wanting him. It's coming from her being hurt. So how can you enjoy it?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I don't think you're supposed to. I think she's grieving. And somebody commented that she needs to get over it on the blogs. And I disagree. I believe. Well, they were like, why should she be upset?
She's a little overly upset.
She hurt. Yeah, but you know what? I would be too, because everybody in freaking town knew about it except for me. I'm the last person to find out. My father knew, my best friend knew, my fiance knew.
She drove the woman's child off a cliff and into a sea of boulders.
But she didn't mean to.
Oh, come on!
One thing has nothing to do with the other. They all lied to her. She was the last person to know.
Listen,
she has every right to be angry.
That bitch is responsible for ruining Ryan and Kendall, all right? I will never forgive her. Never forgive her. And she crying over Adam? She deserves everything she gets.
She deserves an Emmy for making us believe that she loves Adam.
No lie. No lie. And let me tell you. All right, she in front of Kendall threatened, tried to make love to Zach. Kendall didn't even flinch. She knew her man was gonna sleep with her. All right, Kendall goes back the next day with coffee and donuts, and says, "We're gonna work this out, Greenlee. We're gonna work this out."
And this is where I lose
Greenlee,
interest.
And then Greenlee, okay?
Was it Dunkin' Donuts? Were they doing product placement?
Honey Glaze or something?
Okay.
So Greenlee at the end. Said basically so hateful. This is how good Rebecca Butter is. She is so hateful. She basically tells Kendall that she hates her. I hate you. I will always hate you for doing this to me. Tears were rolling down her face.
She's been betrayed, girl. Betrayed.
They're so good together. Those two.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm getting a little.
Kendall is very good.
I'm getting a little tired of this because you know what? This is like. How many times are we going to do this? Either you're going to make them best friends or you're going to make them bitter enemies like Dorian and Vicky and Nora and Lindsay from One Night to Live. You know, it's like this going back and forth is annoying.
Listen, you're right, because at one point I wanted to
kill
somebody.
I feel like I've seen this before.
I wanted to throw my shoe at the high definition television when I heard Kendall say, I have to fix this, Zach. I have to go help Greenlee and Adam. I have to. I have to make this right.
Your ass needs to stay out of it.
How many times, if we could have a drinking game. Whenever you hear Kendall utter a phrase even remotely close to that you drink, you would be 2 feet under or 6 feet under in the ground dead from all the alcohol intake.
And yes, Alicia, I love my Kendall. I love Alicia. But I don't like Kendall the character so much lately. But I love my Alicia. Don't get that wrong. You guys are blogging. I don't confuse the two. I love me some Alicia because she's hot and gorgeous. But Kendall annoys the shit out of me sometimes.
And no matter what we say on this podcast, people, we are loving all my children right now.
I have to say, right now I'm loving all my children and it's scaring me to high end that this guy's coming on and could just ruin it yet again. And, you know,
I hope you people give it credit to. I hope you people really do. Like, I think you guys do. And I hope you do because we got to give these people credit, you know. What Jordan said earlier in the podcast, the show was unwatchable a year ago. And this past 2 weeks, we have had some really fun storytelling. And it could have been a big, fat BS story because a lot of it was. Let's face it, people. Robert Gardner, that was BS. But the way that they did it was somewhat thoughtful and the actors were so good that it worked for me.
We didn't even mention Adam and JR on Friday's episode.
You gotta mention real quick.
Adam and JR were phenomenal. I know somebody said that those scenes weren't necessary. I agree that Tad and Jesse could have had the whole episode to themselves, but Tad and those scenes with JR and Adam were so powerful. Jacob
Can
Young was at
with
his
one
best.
Thing?
Yes, go ahead.
I will preface it with the idea that this is the week of really trying to lay it on thick with Adam that he needs to tell the
yes.
truth about Kate.
And see, and this is what I was telling Ashley was that even though I guess in
and
my
so
back of
JR
my head,
did.
Yeah, in the back of my head I knew it. It wasn't until these scenes that I realized, God, Adam, you're not only keeping Tad away from his daughter. You're keeping your son away from his sister.
That's what JR said.
And well, he didn't because he doesn't know that his father's like keeping her away. But it made me. I felt disgusted. I was like, Adam, you are vile.
But JR even said, he said, you're dancing on Tad's
grave. It was those were some
and
powerful
every single
scenes.
Person you love would be so devastated if Tad left.
Jacob Young was so amazing
and
in those
that,
scenes.
And after that, he was amazing.
Brilliant work,
absolutely.
Jacob. Brilliant work. And the only scenes that really shouldn't have been in those episodes were the Zach and Kendall scenes. I'll say that because Jesse and Angie, they should have had, and I told you this before we were doing the podcast, why did we not see Jake with his parents? Mm-hmm. Those are the scenes I want to see. I want to see him reconnecting
because
with his parents.
The powers
crying
that be
over.
Could not afford to fly Martin from L.A. and pay her for 2 days' work.
Well, no, they'll fly her in for 1 day's work and have her, like, have 3 lines in one scene.
That's what they
You know, I mean, it's just stupid to me because, you know what? I want Ruth on the show.
We need those older characters on the show. The way The Week ended was fantastic because you had JR basically finally get through that thick-headed Adam that he needs to come clean. He needs to tell the truth. But meanwhile, you have Tad in La La Land, unconscious La La Land.
Ready to go with Dixie.
He's ready to go toward the light with Dixie.
Yeah, guys, we didn't say that. He's ready to go to the light with Dixie. That's how it ended on Friday. He's ready to go to the light.
But then you have Adam struggling with Jake to talk to Tad.
And how good was Jake?
Oh, so good.
Jake. Stopping Adam from going in there.
I don't know how Adam is going to get in that room because I haven't read spoilers, thank God, because as Mimi Torchin says, spoilers ruin everything. So I haven't read any.
No, I haven't. I haven't read any. Okay. No, I mean, I kind of know because I got my source, but I haven't read anything.
Well, I don't want to know.
And we didn't mention Frankie's new love interest.
I don't want to talk about her.
All right. We'll Frankie has a new love interest.
I think she's...
She's a happy hooker, supposedly.
Yes, but she's stupid.
No, she's not. She
yes,
can
she
act.
Is.
At least she's alive. She can act. New Kobe?
Can I tell you something? Viewers, I'm going to tell you something.
New Kobe should have been shot instead
Apparently,
of Julia.
Apparently, the girl has been beaten by someone, obviously. It's very blatantly clear. Her pimp, probably.
Because somebody in the blog told us that.
She is sitting there on the bed, the table, whatever, with her arms crossed, all right? She's holding her elbows with her hands, hugging herself real tight. In the same breath, Frankie says to her, "You have a hairline fracture on your wrist." And I'm looking at the girl's hands and arms. And she's like, "So?" And she shrugs her arms and hands, full movement, full motion, holding everything, not even one wince of pain. I felt like telling her, "Sweetheart, a hairline fracture in the wrist means that you would not be able to hold your fingers straight, let alone cross your hands and hold them at the elbows."
Well, that's the writer and the director's fault.
Pathetic!
Not the actress. That's right. I felt she had a little spark in her, more so than you, Kobe.
You just like her blue eyes.
She's cute.
She's a beautiful lady.
I like her. She's a little hottie.
She said something. I didn't know what she said. I don't know. Brandy, something like that. I'm not into it. The reason I'm not into it is first of all, we're fresh off a really bad recast. A really bad recast in Kobe. Bad actress, bad recast, no point. And now we're getting another actor who I don't even know if she can act or not. I'm not ready to say based on one episode that she can act. I'm not confident. She looks like she's 17 years old.
That's the funny thing. Is like you didn't put him with Kobe because everybody was like saying that Kobe looks too young. But meanwhile, you got somebody that looks just as young as Kobe.
That's what I'm saying.
She looks just as young as Amber.
You know, I want actors like bring. I mean, look at Eden Regal. She has not come to see Erica. Put her. I don't want to see no new love interest. Frankie could have been with Julia. Frankie could have been with someone who could act. Come on, Frankie could be with Amanda. Don't bring me no hoochie mama when you have
gone.
Amanda.
Rumor is she's leaving.
Oh yeah, I can't talk. I gotta.
Rumor is she's leaving.
I was trying to end the podcast on a good note, saying how great the show is, and you gotta go and tell me Amanda's leaving.
I don't know for sure. That's the rumor that's going around. The rumor.
I can't take it.
All I can say this is
so you can defend that girl when you got this beautiful Miss Chrishell Stouse not doing nothing.
I never understand why they're not using her.
All right.
I like her as an actress too. I think she has so much potential. But these I don't know. Anyway, all I will say this is Mr. Pratt better leave Miss Carmen Sugar Morales alone. I'm getting a little bit worried. Right. We have not seen her in 2 weeks, but I understand we've been focusing on Jesse and Angie. But now with a new writer coming in, he might not like her character, her storyline, and might get rid of her. And I hope that doesn't happen because I was hoping they'd give her a contract. I think they should bring her to Pine Valley.
Carmencita, you're in trouble because I don't know what they're going to do with you because...
They better not do anything. They better give her a contract and make her... She is fun. And we need her. We need fun characters like that.
You better keep the plastic on your couch because...
You are horrible.
You are going to need that couch for a long time. Don't buy no new couch.
Don't say that.
You ain't gonna have the money.
No, I don't want to think that they're gonna get rid of her. They better leave my Carmen Sugar Morales alone.
I love her.
I love my Carmen Sugar. I've been missing her these 2 weeks.
All right, people, we took an extra long time for you because we missed you so much.
We do. I miss you.
Thank you for hanging in with us. I'm back and glad to be back, and mostly glad about the developments of our little All My Children. If you want to write us, you can email us at pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com. You can go to our MySpace page, www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast. Or you can go to our website with links to all of this stuff at www.pinevalleypodcast.com. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
Must be broken. I didn't leave the door open.
You were the last one out of the house.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, because it wasn't me.
Well, then who, Tad?
Pool boy.
We don't have a pool.
Cleaning woman.
You're looking at her.
Really? This is the best you could do? As long as you admit it. Gotcha.
You do realize we've been having the same argument for 45 years.
And you realize that we are going to have it for another 45 years if you keep this up. Just for the record, didn't leave the door open.